This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah, our talk today is about Luqman's conversation with his son. The famous conversation in Surah Luqman, the beautiful advice from a father to his son. There's a lot of lessons that we can take from it and some reflections, and hopefully inshallah we'll be able to squeeze that in the little time that we have. So let's start. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I'm going to read the part from the surah that we will talk about, then provide some kind of a translation inshallah of the meaning of the verses. And then we will try to draw some lessons. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. So I'm just going to read a rough translation of the meaning taken from the clear Quran. When Luqman said to his son, as he advised him, O my son, do not associate anything with God, with Allah, for idolatry is a terrible wrong. We have entrusted the human being with the care of his parents. His mother carried him through hardship upon hardship, weaning him in 2 years. So give thanks to me and to your parents. To me is the destination. So I want you to think of that in the context of a father giving advice to his son. So he's highlighting to his son very important lessons and issues about life. We continue. But if they strive to have you associate with him something of which you have no knowledge, do not obey them, but keep them company in this life in kindness, and follow the path of him who turns to me. Then to me is your return, and I will inform you of what you used to do. O my son, even if it were the weight of a mustard seed in a rock or in the heavens or on earth, God will bring it to light. God, O Allah, is kind and expert. O my son, observe the prayer, advocate righteousness, forbid evil, and be patient over what has befallen you. These are of the most honorable traits. And do not treat people with arrogance, nor talk proudly on earth. God does not love the arrogant show-offs. And moderate your stride and lower your voice. The most repulsive of voices is the donkey's voice. So we want to take the advice of Luqman as it occurs in the surah, step by step, withdraw lessons specifically. Then we will look at the hidden parts, or I would say the more subtle parts of this advice, which can be found in the sequence, for example, and the connections that he makes. First, people ask this question, is Luqman a prophet or is he a righteous man? Was he a prophet or a righteous man? هل كان نبيا أم رجلا صالحا? Do we know? We don't know for sure. And this type of knowledge doesn't really benefit us. This is knowledge that doesn't benefit us. So this is the first lesson that we can take from this. First, the Prophet ﷺ used to make the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. O Allah, I seek your protection from knowledge that yields no benefit. So there is knowledge, there's information that doesn't give you any benefit. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of energy. And you should not busy yourself with it. So people would often ask, you know, what's the tree that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa ate from in Jannah? What type of tree was that? Or, you know, what type of dog was with the people of the cave? Was it male or female? The ant that spoke about Sulaiman alayhi salam and his troops, you know, was it a male or female? What's the name called? What was its name? All of that doesn't benefit us. So as a Muslim, we should always ask about the things that really benefit us. Mere curiosity, you know, is not even a waste, or is not neutral in value. It's negative in value. Why? Because whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you in terms of resources, time, mental energy, focus, ability to process, to think, all of that is meant to be used or put to good use. If you don't use it constructively and you use it on something that doesn't yield benefit, then you have missed out on something, on an equal opportunity of good. So whatever you invest in something that is idle or neutral or something evil, it's not like that you have wasted your time or you have invested in evil, but you have also at the same time lost an opportunity to build something good. So that's why it's a double loss. So it's very important to, you know that if something benefits us, Allah would teach us that thing. If there is something that Allah kept hidden from us, that means the knowledge of this thing would not be beneficial. Actually, it might be harmful. Yes, sometimes knowledge for some people could be harmful. Some knowledge. This is why there is something called incremental approach to knowledge. This is why sometimes if you teach people something that is above their head or that is not suitable for their specific intention at a given time, it could be a trial and a cause of fitna for some of them. A man came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu when he was teaching and he said, can a murderer repent and be forgiven? He turned away from him. He insisted. He said, no, there's no repentance. Now, it's not he's lying, but he's saying that there's no guarantee for repentance for someone who kills. So his students asked him afterwards, they said, this man came and asked you, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. So why did you give him this answer? More of a political answer. He said, because I saw in his eyes the intention to kill. Had I told him that there is tawbah, that there is possibility to repent, most likely I would have just given him the push that he needs or the excuse that he needs to fall into sin. So again, it's important first to seek the knowledge that is beneficial and the knowledge that is suitable for you. If you teach a child knowledge that doesn't, you know, suit their age, you create confusion and fitna again. What you're sharing might be true, but it could be problematic. So this is why knowledge is not something you share randomly. There is wisdom. There is wisdom. So Luqman, again, he's teaching his son. And this shows you, subhanAllah, the verse, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ. And it happened that Luqman said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ عِظَةً مَوْعِظَةً. We hear this word in the Quran sometimes, عِظَةً مَوْعِظَةً. So we have two types of teaching in Islam. We have maw'idah, or عِظَةً, and we have al-ilm, dars. What is the difference? There is difference. And these are two styles in da'wah that are very important. Both of them are important, and the balance between them is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Quran as what? Maw'idah. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةً مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ مَوْعِظَةً. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said in an authentic hadith narration, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَخَوَّلُنَا بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to seize opportunities. Whenever there's an opportunity to give us maw'idah, he would do it. مَخَافَةَ السَّآمَةِ عَلَيْنَا. The Prophet would not do it all the time. He would do it when he finds the time is right, because he doesn't want to overburden us. He doesn't want to bore us. Again, good teacher. But then we have ilm, proper studying. What's the difference? Maw'idah is more of shaking the person up. تَحْرِيكُ الْقَلْبِ. That's what the scholars call it. A reminder that awakens the iman, that gets the person a shift in perspective. Hey, wake up, what are you doing? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's more, we call it today emotional, I don't like this name, but it's more about shaking the person up, getting them to, you know, to wake up from their ghafla. That's maw'idah. Whereas dars or ta'aleem is actually proper education, academic education. The focus here is information. So Luqman here was not in the process of teaching his son, which obviously we know he taught his son. Since he was at least a wise man, he definitely taught, and a man of knowledge, he must have taught his son. But here he was giving an advice, a reminder, an awakening. Sometimes, and this is important for parents, not only a father, but also a mother, that you should seize moments when you see your child is most receptive and give them advice. Give them advice about the most important things in life. That's what really matters. This is what your life should be about. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ. There is a hierarchy in this. There is an order of importance. And subhanAllah, Luqman, since he's a wise man, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We have endowed Luqman with hikmah, with wisdom. Hikmah, the scholars define it as follows. They say, وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ مَوْضِعَهُ. Putting something in its right place, where it truly belongs. So this is why some people have the knowledge, they have the know-how, but they put it in the wrong place. They give it to the wrong person. They convey it in the wrong way, at the wrong time. This is lack of knowledge. So a wise person doesn't only have the knowledge, but also is very smart about how to communicate it, when to communicate it, how to communicate it, what's the right dose, and so on and so forth. So everything is appropriate for that. Like the perfect conditions. So Luqman was giving his son this advice. And obviously he's not someone who's chasing his son all the time with this type of advice, but he saw a moment, and it seems that this happened. We can sort of sense from the language that this happened more than once. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Now, very important thing here to keep in mind, because somebody might think, you know, one day Luqman just sort of woke up, saw his son, and out of the blue just told him, do not associate partners with Allah, don't commit shirk. Now this would be a very naive sort of vision of this scenario. A wise man, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. What is a hallmark of a wise person, a believer? That they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their life is a clear translation of the worship of Allah, of the love of Allah, of devotion, of good conduct, of ibadah. So that means Luqman alayhi salam already taught his son primarily through his example. through his example. Because we know that children learn from our behavior more than they learn from our preaching. That's a given. Every parent knows this. And you know, we say it in a funny way, you know, monkey see, monkey do, right? That's what kids do. You say to your child, don't lie, but they see that you actually lie in many instances, they're gonna lie. You smoke and you tell them smoking kills, they're gonna smoke, right? They see you do bad things, they're just gonna pick up your attitude, your behaviors, your way of, you know, the way you carry yourself, they're gonna pick that up. You know, even the way you walk, by the way, children usually pick up the way their parents walk. The boys pick up the way the father walks, the girls pick up the way their mother walks. This is proven. So again, this is how Allah designed us. We absorb so much just by being around people, seeing them behave, being with them, living with them. We pick up so much at an unconscious level, okay? So when Luqman speaks to his son, he's not like out of the blue. He's always busy working on things. And one day he sees his son, he says, come here, let me give you some advice. That's not how it happened. There was a full context of education. And the most important, he laid the grounds and the foundations by what? Being a good person. Often the people ask the question, how can I become a good spouse, a good husband, a good wife? There's no technique. There's no technique. Or how can I become a good parent? The answer to all of these is one thing, become a good person. When you are a good person, you will find yourself to be a good spouse. When you are a good person, you will find yourself to become a good parent. You might have some things you need to fix, but these will be some issues on the surface, and you can easily fix them. But without being a good person, so people think, oh, I can be a bad person, but I can learn the technique to be a good parent. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. Because your son will literally absorb most of what you are. That's how kids learn. That's how humans learn. You know, you can spend some time in the company of some people and you will start to notice, or if you don't notice, others will start to notice that you will start even pronouncing words in the same way that they pronounce them. You start to have, you know, feeling patterns similar to those people. It's amazing how humans, you know, subhanAllah, learn from each other. So Luqman, being a wise man, he must have been a great example. He must have educated his son. His son must have seen beautiful example of being a Muslim, of being a believer, of being someone who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acts this out in his life, in his attitude, in his actions, in his words, in his dealings and everything. So the foundations are laid and they're very solid and strong. So now when Luqman says to his son, لا تشرك بالله, it makes full sense. Because his father, the life of his father is a statement, is an actual statement or an actual lifestyle of this statement. يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. And subhanAllah, tawheed, this is about tawheed. So what does he start with? The most important thing. Because this point means you either enter paradise or the hellfire. Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. You worship Allah alone. The Prophet ﷺ called it miftahul jannah, the key to jannah. That's how you enter paradise. You enter paradise with worshipping Allah alone. Recognizing Allah is Rabb, the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the one who's in control, full control, the creator of everything. And that only Him deserves our ultimate love, our worship, our devotion, our dedication. And that He is unique in His names and attributes and most perfect. And He doesn't have similarity to His creation. Simple. You live that. And this is really, you know, this is the fuel. This is the fire that ignites, you know, that feeds the engine of life. Really, the believer, the Muslim, you know, the life of a Muslim, truly, a true Muslim, the life of a Muslim is a love story. It's the story of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acting this love out as a lifestyle. This is really what the life of a Muslim is. Yeah, I'm not talking about the traditional way we were taught Islam, about the culture where Islam is all about, you know, going through the movements and having to do things and social expectations and all of that. No. Islam is about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning this love into a lifestyle. And this lifestyle is prescribed. The guidelines for it are very clear. They are in the Quran, in the Sunnah, and the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the rest of the details, you work them out, how they apply to your life. This is really what it is. It's a love story. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were created to love Allah. This love of Allah is instilled in you even when you were born. You need to recover it. You need to reclaim it. You need to embrace it. You need to let it dominate your life, inform your life, animate your life. This is the life of a believer. So when Luqman says to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, this tawheed is expressed in the Quran in two forms, al-ithbat and al-nafi. Ithbat is illallah, that Allah is the only true God who deserves to be worshipped. That affirmation. And sometimes it's communicated by negating the opposite. La ilaha. There is no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah. You need both. And they are usually expressed in the Quran together. So Luqman here, when he says to his son, do not associate partners with Allah, what he is saying, live your life in the worship of Allah. In the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let your life be a statement of, you know, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is what your life should be. So he's actually teaching his son how to live. How to live. He's not just teaching him something about life. He's telling him what life is about. He's saying life is about worshipping Allah. It's about loving Allah. It's about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that you live your life for Allah. This is what life is about and this is how you should live. Any other way of life is going to lead to the hellfire. Simple as that. That's the most important. يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. When you associate partners with Allah, basically when someone is more important in your life than Allah, you start bordering into sin and shirk eventually. You need to be careful. And it's not like you're doing Allah a favor, because once you fail to give Allah His rights, you are falling in oppression, in injustice. Why? You're taking from the rights of Allah. This life belongs to Allah. You belong to Allah. Your life belongs to Allah. Your heart belongs to Allah. Your eyes belong to Allah. Your body belongs to Allah. Your hair belongs to Allah. All of you belong to Allah. Everything around you belongs to Allah. You can't use it the way you like. You have no ownership. You didn't even exist. Most of us, 50 years ago, none of us existed, except for the few of our respected elders. So how come now you own something? You were nothing. You were nothing. You were brought into this world. How come all of a sudden you own things? You don't own anything. Everything you own is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even yourself. So when you don't give Allah what He owns, what are you doing? You're stealing. That's why it's oppression. So when you use your life, when you use your mind, when you use your heart, when you use your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, everything, when you use it for other than what it was created for something that doesn't serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're stealing, you're doing injustice. Let alone when you live for something other than Allah, the worship of money, the worship of wealth, the worship of fame, the worship of status, the worship of your job, the worship of your favorite sport, the worship of your video games, the worship of the person that you love, the worship of your own reputation and your own ego. All of that is stealing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's theft. It's a life of untruth. It's a life of injustice. It's oppression. You owe Allah all yourself. So how come you deny Allah His rights? You're going to pay for that. I mean, Allah gave you choice, but you're going to pay for that. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. Who has the rights, most rights upon you after Allah? Your parents. And it happens in the Quran many times. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And Allah ordained, prescribed that you worship none but Him and that you stay good to your parents. Why? Because Allah brought you into this life through them. So you owe them. You are indebted to them. Indebted to them. I think Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a man carrying his mother on his back. At the time, there were again no trolleys, no wheelchairs, nothing. So he had to carry his mother on his back. And now people make a lot of show, right? So he carried his mother and he performed Hajj with his mother on his back. He carried her on his back. And he asked Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, did I pay her back? He said, not even one breath during her labor. You haven't paid her back. That's the rights of the parents. The companion asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Man ahaqqu an-nasi bi husni sahabati, O Messenger of Allah, who are the people who deserve my company, my time, spending time with them, my kindness, my generosity, the best that I have? Who deserve that?" He said, "Ummuk, your mother." He said, "Then who?" "Ummuk, your mother." "Then who?" "Your mother." "Then who?" "Thumma man abuk?" "Qala abuk." He said, "Your father." Your parents. So when you give preference to somebody other than your parents, what are you doing? You're violating. You are violating. So you give them the rights. But again, you are kind and you're nice and you're dutiful to your parents, but they want you to do something wrong, starting with the biggest wrong, which is what? Associate partners with Allah. Right? So Allah says, "Worship me and be good to your parents." Your parents say, "Don't worship Allah." What do? "I have to obey Allah, right? And be good to my parents and not worship Allah." You see the contradiction? What do? No. This is why we said there is hierarchy. There is level of obligations. So the obligation to your parents does not have strength and potency to cancel the higher and more important obligation, the original obligation of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it's important. This is called in Islam, maratibul ahkam. You know, rulings in Islam are not all at the same level. Some of them are stronger than others, so that when there is a situation, when there is competition between two rulings, one of them has to be applied, one has to be violated for the other to be applied. You can't apply them both in the same situation at the same time. This is called muzahama. Conflict, situational conflict. Which one do you adhere to? The one that is higher in the hierarchy, that has more value in Islam. And you violate the other one? Yes, you violate. Someone says, "Oh, but you committed a sin." Yeah, you committed the lesser sin than the greater sin. This is how Islam is. So your parents want you to do something haram. They want you to eat pork. They want you not to wear hijab. Oh, Allah said, "Be good to your parents." No, when it's haram, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience for a creation that constitutes disobedience to the Creator, to Allah. That's it. Hierarchy, you see? Hierarchy. Okay, my parents are abusive. Now we start thinking of what? Exceptions. That's the disease of today. People don't want to talk about rules. They all want to talk about exceptions. You know, if you don't establish the rule and understand it, you will not be able to handle exceptions. You will stay all your life traumatized by exceptions. Really. You need to understand. Did I run out of time? Or questions, let's leave them towards the end. Okay. Exceptions, you can't deal with exceptions. You can't deal with exceptions unless you grasp the rule and give it its right. Then you can start dealing with exceptions. Today, everyone, once you say something, "But what about this?" You know, you already missed the path to this because it goes through this that you don't want to listen to. So in these situations, exceptions, each situation can be dealt with on case-to-case basis. There is no injustice in Islam. Islam does not tell you be oppressed and be happy about it. It doesn't say that. Okay? وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. Okay, so they want you to disobey Allah. They want you to associate partners with Allah. Don't obey them in that, but stay good to them. Give them their rights. What an amazing balance. So it's not when someone does something wrong, we violate their rights. Let's write them out. Let's destroy them. You can't do this. There is balance. And everyone, there is every human being, there is good in them and there is evil in them. We love them for the good, we support them in the good, and we stand against them in the evil. It's a differentiated approach. Ibn Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, "Ma min insan, ma min rajulin illa wa yajtami'u fihi khayrun wa shar, fa nuhibbuhu ala ma fihi min imanin wa khayr, wa nubghidhuhu ala ma fihi min kufrin wa shar." There's every person, they have good and evil in them. We love them, we support them, we side with them when it comes to iman that they have and the good that they do, and we stand against them when it comes to kufr, disbelief, disobedience, sin, etc. We love them for the iman and we hate them for the kufr at the same time. So he says, يَجْتَمِعُ فِي الْمَرْءِ حُبٌّ وَبُغْضٌ. You can actually love the person and hate them at the same time. Schizophrenic? No. No, but that's actually justice. That's justice. Many people now, when you make a mistake, they want to destroy you. Who doesn't have a mistake? Who doesn't have a mistake? But you know, that's a disease in the heart. Then people weaponize religion. They weaponize truth to destroy you. What are they doing? Instead of serving Allah and serving His religion, they want Allah and His religion to serve their ego. That's the problem. And it's a serious disease. Okay, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And follow the path of those who return to me, those who gravitate towards me, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, you know, when things are difficult in life, when there's a lot of fitna, one of the most important thing you should do is keep the company of good people, which is underestimated today. Because social media, online life has taken us away from that. And we're missing out on this. And number two, the individualism is very toxic that we live in. Allah says to the Prophet وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. And limit yourself, confine yourself to those who call upon Allah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And do not turn your eyes or your sight or your attention away from them. Don't seek the company of other than those people. Stay with the right people. It's very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, "الْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلُ." Everyone is upon the religion of their companions. So be careful, be watchful with regards to who you take as companions, friends, as people you hang with. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eventually, yeah, it's going to be tough. The balance is going to be hard. You're going to struggle with that. But you know, this is going to pass. There's a time limit to this. Eventually you will come back to me and everything, all the scales or all the accounts will be settled. Justice will be done. So don't worry about that. Yes, oh, it's going to be inconvenient. Yes, it's going to be challenging. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes. It sometimes will be confusing. Yes. Who said life is going to be easy? In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا Nothing is left of the dunya except trials, hardships, and confusion. That's the nature of life. It's test. And it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Allah. Put your trust in Allah. Wallahi, it's not your intelligence. It's not your knowledge. It's not your goodness that really saves you with Allah. It's your trust in Allah, knowing that of yourself, you can't do anything. You can't save yourself. Wallahi, no one can save himself. No one can save herself. Only by truly relying on Allah and trusting Allah and hoping in Allah, you will be saved. Only. This is why we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We worship you and we seek your help to do that, because of ourselves, we can't do it. Of ours, if you are left to yourself, you can't do that. You can't fulfill that obligation. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that helps you. You have to understand that we are actually helpless. So eventually you will return to Allah and everyone will be held accountable according to their deeds. So don't worry, you're not going to be held accountable for someone else's mistakes. Everyone will be held accountable. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Every self, it's again, destiny is going to be decided by what it does, by what it did. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. An awakening to the heart, oh my son, even if it's an atom's weight, a mustard seed, the most insignificant size of anything that you think is insignificant, you don't pay attention to, Allah will bring it on the day of judgment. And it will have a place. It will have a place on the account. So nothing, you know, goes missing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's good, if it's evil. So you should know that Allah watches you. When you are in private, Allah watches you. When you show a face in public and another face in private, Allah knows. When you show a face in public and inside you're saying something else in your inner dialogue, Allah knows what's in your heart. Allah knows. You show off with your prayer, you show off with your religiosity, you show off with your wealth, you show off with your kindness, with your goodness, with your charity. And you know, it's not for Allah, but you want people's attention and people's admiration. And you think you can do that for a lifetime and get away with it. And you think, yeah, you start to believe that lie that you've been acting out. Allah knows. Allah sees through this. You can't deceive Allah. So you know what? Make sure you give yourself totally to Allah, because He's in charge of everything. Nothing, you know, goes missing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, your perception does not shape or limit the perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can bury your head in the sand and say, oh, it's not there. But if when it's there, it's there. And you will be held accountable. Ya bunay, okay. يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. Allah will bring it on the day of judgment. إن الله لطيف. Allah is subtle and He works in ways you can't figure out and you can never think about. خبير, and He's aware, fully aware. يا بني أقم الصلاة. Establish the prayer. Establish the prayer. And by the way, just to point out, the prayer is not only what you see. This is the tip of the iceberg. What is visible to the eye and what is audible to the ear in the salah is the tip of the iceberg. Most of the salah happens where? In the heart. Most of the salah happens in the heart. This is why people tell you, I pray, but I don't feel it. I pray, Allah says, you know, the prayer deters you from sin. I pray, but I don't feel that. Because you're not praying. Your heart is not praying. Salah is foremost, most and foremost, for the heart and takes place in the heart. Salah is primarily for the heart. What you see again and what you hear, this is the tip of the iceberg. Call it 5%. Literally. It's in the heart. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said two people could be praying next to each other. And between their prayer, كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The difference between their prayer is just like the distance between the heavens and the earth. Externally, the same. What's the difference? It's in the heart. So the prayer, when you're praying, Allah wants your heart. Your limbs and your tongue follow the heart. We're not here to make a show before Allah. We're here to be sincere when we pray. And that's why we're not reaping the fruits of the prayer. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. That's your what? Personal worship obligations. All right? Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. Wa'mur bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'anil munkar. Social obligation. Because you fixing yourself is not enough. You need to engage, increase the good, and push against the evil. By this social responsibility of enjoining the good, advising against the evil. Al-amru bil-ma'rufi wal-nahyu anil-munkar. Very important thing. You can't get your ways right without engaging in that to a healthy extent. And it has fiqh. Amr bil-ma'ruf nahyu anil-munkar has fiqh. It has a lot of rules, regulations, and has wisdom behind it. It's not random. And it's not haphazard, or it's not a matter of a mood or personal taste. No, there is science behind it. وَأْمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And be patient with what befalls you. Because you're going to get hit in life. If you think, you know, most people are traumatized. A lot of people, their trauma or their pain is exacerbated because of their expectations. Life should be nice because that's the lie they told us. Have a happy life, fulfilled life, full of joy. Travel wherever you want. Right? Do what you want. Eat what you want. Life is full of happiness and joy. And especially with marriage, right? Marriage is going to be beautiful. You're going to live all these, you know, fairy tales and these love stories. You're going to live that for real. You get into it and you say, is that it? I must be married to the wrong person. No, you're just married to a human being. Because you want to be married to your dreams, to your fancy. Life is tough. A marriage is tough. Parenthood is tough. Being alive is tough. Dealing with life is tough. Yeah, that's it. How do you think you're going to enter Jannah? It doesn't mean it's impossible. On the contrary, this is the only way it can be meaningful. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. So he's teaching his son different skills. Pray, fulfill the obligations, your personal obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In, out, inside, out. Engage in the social worship of advising, increasing the good and limiting the evil, pushing against the evil. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. One of the pure actions of the heart, be patient. That actually the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ عَطَاءً أَحْسَنَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. No one was given after Iman anything more precious than sabr.
Patience. You need patience in everything. In life, you need patience. It's the secret ingredient that turns everything into gold. Because a lot of what kills us is our impatience, our haste, our inability to stay upon the what is true and stay consistent until things pay their fruit. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is one of the highest traits. Actually, عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ is strength, firm, resolution. You want to be a strong person? You want to be a strong person? These are the secrets to a strong person. Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَىٰ. Right? Seek help and strength in what? Sabr, patience, and salah. It makes you stronger. But when you pray properly, when you pray with your heart, it's not like your heart is worshipping something else, thinking of something else, and you're just bringing your body to Allah. No, that's not salah. That's not how you're supposed. You need to give Allah the most precious thing about you, and that's your heart. If you give that your heart to something else, that means there is something more valuable in your life than Allah. Call a spade a spade. If you don't bring your attention to the salah and to Allah and feel that love and personal connection, something is more important to you than Allah. What is that thing? What your heart is thinking about. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Do not be arrogant. Do not be contemptuous to people. Look down upon them. Why? Because you're just a creature like them. But you have nothing to be proud of. You didn't create yourself. You didn't bring yourself into existence. Allah created you. So what are you proud about? Only Allah is al-mutakabbir. Why? Because He's the only one who deserves this pride. Humans, because you don't own anything of yourself, you're helpless, you're weak. So when you think good of yourself and you think you're a big shot, that's a lie. You believe in a lie. You're acting out a lie in your attitude. This is why takabbur is evil. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Again, don't walk on earth with so much pride. And again, مَرَحًا would be again some sort of heedlessness again. Some sort of heedlessness. Arrogance with heedlessness. You're just so, you know, happy about the things that you have in your life, or you're just so busy thinking about your own worldly pursuits, but you're not in tune with the purpose of this life. Why are you here? Don't do that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love those who are arrogant, proudful, and haughty. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ. Walk, you know, with moderation. That's the external. So in your heart, don't have arrogance. Externally, be mild. Be mild and be balanced in everything. The way you walk, the way you talk. Don't just raise your voice. And the Prophet ﷺ was described, كَانَ إِذَا تَحَدَّثَ أَسْمَعَ. If he spoke, he made the other person hear. But his voice wasn't too high. The volume wasn't too high. It wasn't too low. That's how we should speak. Because Allah says, well, if you're going to compete, if you think, oh, it's better to have a louder voice, it's more like whatever, I don't know, gives an impression of strength or manliness, right? Well, the voice of the donkey is stronger and louder than your voice. So who are you competing with? So again, this is an advice. See it as an incident that would happen occasionally in the life of Luqman towards his son. Shows the beautiful example of parenthood, of giving advice and seizing a moment, but also see it in the context of him, Luqman, being an embodiment of what he is advising. He's a wise man, right? At least we said he's a wise man, if not a prophet. That means when he gives advice, he already embodies that. He has that in him. But he just emphasizes it with more communication, verbal communication. So I think this is a lesson for all parents. It's a beautiful way even to advise. And hopefully when we see it in context, this is something that we can benefit from, to see what are the most important that we should give advice about. And it shows that we should educate our kids about Tawheed. Because when we tell our kids, oh, what do you want to be in the future? What's your dreams in the future? We never bring Allah. I want to be a doctor, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a teacher, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to be a billionaire, right? That's what we teach them. We think, oh, I want to guarantee a better future for my kids. And then when they grow and they don't have Allah in their life, we want to force them to pray and learn the Quran. And we say, how come? We gave them the best education. We treated them well. Yeah, but Allah was absent. So how come you complain now? You're reaping what you sowed. Really, what goes around comes around. So when we feel more puzzled, that means we're not looking carefully at what we are doing and the consequences of our own actions and choices. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to make us the best of parents, spouses, and children. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our hearts and forgive our sins. Jazakumullah khairan for coming out and joining us. And there's no time. Just make dua. It's the last minute in Friday. And hopefully, inshallah, the dua is answered. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.